If you're snacking on anything but tasty cake, you're making a huge Miss Cake. A fistful of chocolate-covered raisins? Miss Cake. A spoonful of peanut butter? Bigger Miss Cake. Or the worst Miss Cake of all, your kid's Halloween candy, and it's April. If it's not tasty cake, it's a Miss Cake. Because nothing satisfies like a perfectly sweet butterscotch crimpet or rich and creamy chocolate peanut butter candy cake. Tasty cake. Accept no substitutes.
Hey everybody, and welcome to the Billboard.com Pop Shop Podcast. My name is Keith Caulfield, and I am the co-director of charts at Billboard. Joining me, as always, is Billboard.com senior editor Katie Atkinson. Greetings, Katie.
Greetings, Keith.
How are you?
Doing well, because today we've got Must Hear Music coming up with Billboard.com senior editor Joe Lynch.
Yeah. Yes, well, stay tuned for that in just a second, because the Billboard Pop Shop Podcast is your one-stop shop for all things pop on Billboard's weekly charts. In addition, you can always count on a lively discussion about the latest pop news, fun chart stats and stories, new music, and guest interviews with music stars and folks from the world of pop.
Today on the show, we've got Must Hear Music with Billboard.com senior editor Joe Lynch. Joe and the team will be chatting about new tunes from Blondie and more, so stay tuned for that in just a moment.
But first, before we get started, if you enjoy the podcast, subscribe to the show on iTunes so you won't miss an episode, and give us a rating or review while you're at it. If you have any questions for us, you can tweet us at Keith_Caulfield or KT Atkinson. And if you want to explore more podcasts from Billboard, visit iTunes.com/Billboard Podcasts. Before we jump into Must Hear Music, since Blondie will be discussed in the segment, we thought it'd be fun to quickly chat about our favorite Blondie songs, or at least some of our favorite Blondie songs. Katie, do you have a personal favorite?
Of course I do.
Tell me about it.
It's actually hard to pick, though, because I just love Blondie, and I especially love all of their singles. So I narrowed it down to Heart of Glass, which is one of those songs that I think, actually, a lot of the Blondie repertoire could be a hit today, especially that one.
Yeah, you know, a lot of their music actually still sounds contemporary.
I feel like you hear Call Me covers all the time.
It's timeless.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So how about you, Keith?
Well, I love Call Me.
Oh, yes.
I have a lot of favorites. I love One Way or Another. Mm-hmm. I love a lot of their music. I love Call Me. And did you know that Blondie's only had 4 top 10 songs on the Billboard Hot 100, but all 4 of them hit number one?
So they've had 4 number ones.
4 number ones, and those were their only top 10.
That's
so
crazy.
So it was either like huge smash hit or it missed the top 10.
So what were those number ones?
They were Heart of Glass, Call Me, Rapture, and The Tide is High. And interestingly enough, those 4 songs are all pretty distinct in the genres that they cover. Heart of Glass is a disco song. Call Me is a rock track. Rapture is a sort of a rap-inflected hip-hop song, and The Tide is High is actually a sort of a reggaeified cover version of an older track. So, you know, they're covering all the bases.
So what genre will Blondie be in next? It's time to hear Must Hear Music and find out.
Hello and welcome to the Must Hear Music podcast. My name is Joe Lynch, and I am sitting here with Jason Lipschutz.
What's up, man?
And Lindsay Havens.
Hello.
What's up, guys?
Hey, you know, not much.
Oh, okay. That sounds exciting.
Thrilling.
Moving right along. So in this episode, we're going to be talking about Niall Horan's Slow Hands, his sexy little jam that he's got out, Perfume Genius's Wreath, LCD Sound System's Return, with new music, actually. A new song from Blondie, Grizzly Bear is back, and a new song from Mac DeMarco. Ooh. So let's start with Niall, though. So this is...
Let's start with Niall.
I described it just now as a sexy little slow jam from our boy Niall.
Yeah.
This is your pick, Jason.
But
what do you think about this? So this is... We've heard from most of the 1D boys now.
Yeah, we're getting there.
And this is the follow-up to This Town, which was a kind of sparse acoustic number. And this is pretty different.
Yeah, I mean, This Town was very much... It was actually a pretty big hit, if you think about it.
It's still doing well on the radio,
yeah.
Actually.
And this is definitely a different direction. I think that it's definitely more interesting.
Mm-hmm.
This Town was fine in the sense that it was like a... It's fine, like a Jason Mraz song was fine. It's like, mm-hmm. I don't dislike Jason Mraz songs.
Right.
Like, you know, if I hear I Won't Give Up in a mall, I'll listen along. I won't mind. Same with This Town. I like the little, like, every comes back to you.
Yeah, that's a lovely. Nice little
It's a lovely
moment.
Little hook. This is definitely more appealing to me in the sense that there's actually some risk involved. This mm-hmm. is Niall making kind of a sex jam. Yeah. And a pretty good one at that. It's basically his version of Nick Jonas's Jealous. And
right, but I think instead of The Weeknd being the touchstone, like John Mayer is more his,
yeah,
his sonic palette.
It's still veering into that kind of like sleek R&B area a little bit.
Sure.
I mean, it's not
I'm hearing
like,
more
it's not,
rock.
It's not like
I
a,
guess.
Really?
I think the production is pretty pop, like with the kind yeah. of like chopped vocal and stuff, but I feel like the sound basis of this is kind of more rock song than R&B, at least
yeah,
for me. But
maybe. I mean,
we can physically fight about this.
Yeah.
Later.
We definitely will. No, I think that there's a little bit of a danger in our boy Niall that I didn't know was lurking. And I enjoy it. It's a fun. It's definitely replayable in a way that I don't think This Town was.
Mm-hmm.
And I think instead of like heartfelt, it's nice to add like a different, more adult dimension to him.
Totally.
So, yeah, well, I recommend it.
What do you think, Lindsay, about this?
I wouldn't recommend it.
Ooh.
I'm sorry to throw you under the bus there. I'm not a huge fan of this. And it's hard not to sort of compare him to the other 1D solo artists right now, Zayn and Harry, who are doing so well, specifically Harry. Who I'm now a huge fan of.
Yeah.
But he's just the least interesting to me of them. Like, in terms of his personality from what I've seen from him and his music.
Have you seen the 1D documentary? Because when that ended,
no.
I was like...
Did he have a shining moment?
I kind of liked Niall the most after watching that, actually.
So that's what I'm doing tonight, I guess.
All right.
Yeah. I mean, you missed it in 3D, so what's the point? But
true.
Wasn't there two documentaries? That's so crazy to
think
about.
Were there two in-theater documentaries? I don't think so.
I think there were two documentaries. I'm going to look this up while you continue bashing.
I'm pretty sure Morgan Spurlock did the 3D one of Super Size
yeah,
Me fame.
Which was great. Yeah.
Which is quite a turnaround stylistically. But so you don't dig this? You don't...
It's okay. I feel like I've heard it so many times before. It just sounds like several other songs to me.
Yeah.
And it's sort of easy to get lost in that. It just doesn't stand out.
And you noticed something interesting about this song.
I did,
that
indeed.
I wanted to prod you to talk about.
The little high-pitched woo sounds
Can you do it
almost
again?
Identical. No, I cannot. It was a one-time thing. It sounds almost identical to the high-pitched woo in Katy Perry's Chain to the Rhythm.
Yes.
Oh, wow.
I even sent you the time marks to listen.
You did, yeah. Let me see if I can call it. I think it was at 107 in the Niall song. There's like a kind of vocoder-y, like, woo!
There we go.
But cooler.
But better.
And in the Katy Perry song, maybe at like the 54-second mark.
Something like that.
There's a similar one. And, you know, they're not exactly the same, but it's like, it's similar enough. That's definitely like this kind of, like, we've talked about it before, like, recently the whole, like, vocodery voice as an instrument in the background is becoming a thing now, and I think this like woo is now like another one of these like little yeah. trends and tricks that people are using. They're like, hey, that was yeah. on a different hit song, so let's put it on this song,
like,
and
signals right before the chorus is about to start almost.
Yep.
Yeah.
By the way, there were two One Direction films.
What?
Both theatrical releases.
I don't think one was I think one of them was not, but One Direction, This Is Us, and then One Direction, Where We Are, both films.
I saw This Is Us. I don't think I saw Where We Are.
Where We Are seems to be a... Yeah, they're both, I guess, concert films, but yeah, there you go. Good,
all right.
Good for them.
All right. I have some catching up to do.
You sure do. I actually really like this. I mean, I kind of... I hear what you're saying, Lindsay, but mm-hmm. I just think it's a good... I think it's a good direction for him. I like that it's... I don't know. Like you said, you know, it's sexy, but it's not like forcing it in a
yeah.
way. Like, I feel like it's really easy for someone in a boy band, or really any band, when they kind of like come out and like want to announce their personality, to like go too far in one way. You know, certainly like we've seen many Disney stars who like when they like want to announce their adult do it by becoming like sexy, and they go in this like absolute extreme like leather latex, and like nothing wrong with that. But like sometimes you can tell it's like fake. Like, you're like, they're not really into that. They're doing it just to kind of, like, distance themselves. And I like that Niall has gone in kind of like a more, I can't believe I'm going to say this with a One Direction member, in a more erotic direction, but in a pretty, like, organic way. Like, it's not over the top. It's not bludgeoning you over the head with it.
It's not his dirty featuring Redman.
It's not his dirty featuring Redman. There's just that one weird line about sweat on laundry where I'm kind of like, are they, like, boning on the laundry? Or, like, okay, gross, whatever.
I can't answer that. I don't know why you're looking at me.
I don't know. Yeah, I don't. Why am I looking at you? Like, I need some answers about this. Anyways, clean your clothes now. All right, let's listen to it. Niall Horan's Slow Hands. Like sweat dripping down my dirty laundry. No, no chance that I'm even here without you on me.
Better or worse than Interpol Slow Hands?
I'm going to say better.
I'm going to say worse. But
I'm
going
to say worse.
Yeah, I'm shocked.
You didn't like it, so.
Shocking,
shocked.
Yeah.
Shocked.
All right, next up, let's talk about a Lindsay pick. So something you do like, finally.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
LCD Sound System, Call the Police.
Oh, yeah.
So these guys went on, like, a four-year hiatus?
5 year, yeah.
Was it really 5 years, though, actually? Anyways, yeah. So they went on a hiatus.
Almost exactly 5 years.
They came back. They've been touring a bit. They're a fantastic live act.
It's true.
But this is the first new song Zuh. They released two songs recently. We've heard from them, and they played them both on SNL. And you picked, it's Call the Police and American Dream, and you picked Call the Police. But
yeah.
So we can talk about both.
We can talk about both.
What are your thoughts on these?
Well, first, it's crazy. It was their first time on SNL to me, which is really surprising. But this song stood out as being the better of the two. The other one was just a little bit sleepy. This had more going on, but it didn't have that, like, big dance pop explosion that I wanted from them in terms of new music. But it was still really enjoyable, and I'm sure there'll be more of that to come on the album.
Yeah, hopefully.
Yeah, I think it's like, what is LCD Sound System without some synth dance pop?
Yeah, this one, I Call the Police, that was actually my least favorite of the two.
Really?
I preferred the sleepier one. I kind of like that it was just, like, more, like, vibey, moody LCD. And
yeah.
This one is, like, definitely in that kind of, like, rock vein.
Right.
But I don't know if it does it. It's not bad. It's not bad at all. But I just don't think it, like, doesn't rock hard enough. And it's also not catchy enough. And like what you're saying, there's not, like, that great explosive moment. Like, the first song on their last full album, This Is Happening, has a really slow build with a great bass line and some synths, and then it just, like, explodes. And when it does, it's just, like, absolutely every time. It's, like, makes you, like, give you shivers.
Mm-hmm.
And this, and I'm not expecting this to be, like, as good as one of their best
high
ever
expectations.
Moments. But it is, it could use, like, what you're saying, like, that kind of, like, key moment where you're, like, oh, man, like, this is awesome. And it,
right.
To me, it doesn't have it. But I don't know. What did you think, Jason?
Well, I don't know if you guys know this, but I'm a big LCD Sound System hater.
What?
I did not know that.
Yeah.
Wow.
I didn't know you could hate anything.
Yeah. That is the thing, is I'm usually very positive. I am not a fan. The thing is, I saw them a bunch of times live last year just at festivals,
mm-hmm,
and I really
enjoyed
them.
Because they were at every one.
They were literally every festival. I think I saw them at least three times last year. Yeah, it was three times last year.
And they played your wedding, too, right?
They played my wedding. Yeah, they played
Against
North American
will.
Scum at my wedding. No,
nice.
That's true. No, they, I saw them, and I think they're a great live band. I just, I can't take them on like, their albums.
Mm-hmm.
I really like their first album, but it's not really an album. It's kind of like a collection of singles and then some other songs. Sound of Silver and This Is Happening, I don't care for them at all. Like, it just, I not a fan. So, I was, like, coming into these songs, I was like, I wonder if I'm still not a fan of like their studio output, and it is true. I'm still not
great.
A fan of their studio output. I'd love to see these songs live. I think they'd be great. I don't know what it is. I don't know what that disconnect is, but just, like, I think in the live setting, there's so much less focus on Murphy. And I think that, like, as a band, they operate so well together live. But when it's like their album, he's so in the forefront, and I just don't, like, care for his, like, you know, his lyricism and his songwriting and his vocal delivery. It's not for me.
What did he ever do to you?
I know. I mean, I think it's because like I decided at some point that they were ripping off the Talking Heads so hard that I couldn't take them. You can disagree.
They're
but
an influence. I don't know about ripping off.
Yeah,
so hard.
I mean, I just can't. I'm not a fan. But you know what? I think I'm going to see them live. They're at Pitchfork Fest this year, so I will see them live.
Yeah,
I will definitely be seeing them live again, and I'll probably be seeing these songs, and I'll probably enjoy them. But I do not enjoy listening to them on the record. I am a hater.
Good to know.
What did you think of their SNL performance, Lindsay?
Sort of the same thing in terms of the songs. I wanted a little bit more just because they usually do such a great job live. But then again, when you're limited to that small stage, mm-hmm. how much can you really do, I guess?
Yeah.
And I think a huge part of their live show is like seeing the audience react to it. Mm-hmm. You couldn't get that from the clips that I watched.
Right. Yeah. But I mean, yeah, that's a notoriously difficult stage to play. Yeah.
Right.
Some critics, meaning my parents, were really not into their performance.
Oh,
I would
wow.
say unimpressed, and they thought the keyboard player's dancing was too weird and distracting. Mm. So,
all right,
there you
Mr.
go,
Mrs. Lynch,
Gene and Brian, not a big fan of LCD on
Get
SNL.
Get them on the podcast, man.
One of these days.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's listen to a little bit of its LCD sound system. What did I just say?
LCD sound system.
Oh, God. LCD sound system called the police. All right, that was LCD Sound the System. And next up, let's talk about one of my picks. So Perfume Genius has a new album called No Shape. It is so fantastic. The song I picked is Wreath. The first song we heard from it, Slip Away, has this incredible video.
It's so gorgeous.
It's so beautiful, where he's wearing this like pink ruffled shirt, kind of like an old French Rococo painting. And anyway, so this new one, or it's not a single, but Wreath is probably, other than Slip Away, my favorite on the record. I think it's such a good example of what he does so beautifully, which is take these, like a lot of instruments, there's a lot going on in this song. The piano is kind of clanging randomly in the background. There's a guitar riff, but it's not the center of the song. Usually if you have like, you know, an indie project like this, if there's a guitar riff, the guitar riff is what the song is centered on.
Mm-hmm.
That's not the case here. It's just, it's kind of part of the mix. It's really just kind of a textural song where his voice is the only thing that feels upfront. Everything else feels kind of filtered, as if you're like listening to a piano in one corner of a room. And, you know, even the background vocals seem kind of like filtered through water or something. It's just his voice, which is the only thing which is, like, warm and upfront. And even that is, like, presented in a pretty interesting way. I think, was I talking about with you, like, almost, like, his voice on this album versus the past record, Too Bright, is a little Elliot Smith-ish. There's
mm-hmm.
a lot of, like, kind of, like, quaver in his
yes.
voice. Like, there's some uncertainty and, like, emotional, you know, woundedness. And then in the background, there's his own voice being layered in kind of this, like, wow, someone's like, I think we have a ghost smacking against the wall.
It's our fans, actually. Fans are just breaking down the door to
yeah.
get in here.
And then, so his vocals in kind of this, like, beautiful, like, Elliot Smith mode, but then the background vocals are very, like, Cranberries-esque with these ya-yas being layered onto each other. So there's a lot going on, but it all has, like, a lot of room to breathe, which is an interesting, like, production trick that most people just kind of can't master. Like, usually they have a lot going on. It kind of just melts together in this, like, wall of sound, and that's its own thing. But I love just that every instrument and every piece of this song just feels like it has so much space. It's just really beautiful, and I'm a huge fan of this song and this album. What did you guys think?
Yeah, man, I'm a big Perfume Genius fan. I have a Perfume Genius little poster at my cubicle, which I'm proud mm-hmm. to have.
I haven't noticed that one.
Yeah,
yeah.
What can I say?
From
Too Bright. Yeah. But yeah, no, I love what he's doing with this album. Yeah, I'm glad you picked Wreath because I definitely think it's a standout. I think that it's just like there are moments where the album kind of swoons away from the more accessible stuff. Obviously, I think it's successful across the board, but I like when he really dives back in with like Slip Away or Wreath, and it's just like kind of this like maximalist like pop approach. Mm-hmm. And I can't wait to see this album live. Has he played any shows yet? I feel like he
has
not.
I don't think so.
Yeah,
and I think the New York show is coming up in a mm-hmm. little bit.
Okay, cool. Yeah, that's gonna be
let's go see
crazy
it.
Crazy packed. Yeah. I mean, he's kind of become like a Pitchfork star kind
yeah.
of, which becomes kind of more and more rare, where it's mm-hmm. like not really ever going to cross over to the mainstream, but has right. this kind of rarefied, like super respected yeah. indie cred. So yeah, I listened to this album straight through for the first time yesterday, and I was really blown away.
And Lindsay,
yes.
what did you think about
you,
this song?
Well, you spoke to him. That's cool.
It's a little insider info Ooh. From me. His boyfriend Alan actually sings on this track, and,
oh, really?
And on the track "Die for You." So that's fun.
That's cool.
Yeah, but I like that you mentioned space because I found it really interesting. He said when he was writing the album, he wrote it with nothing but his piano, and he intentionally left the song with a lot of that space because he mm-hmm. knew he wanted to have like these crazy production elements that he'd never done before. And then he sort of brought like those sparse versions of the songs to the studio, and then he would let Blake Mills just like go at it, and he would kind of have to step back, which was new for him, he was saying.
Mm-hmm.
And
That's
he would
cool.
be, yeah, and like he said, he would be super confused and like not sure what was going on, and he'd give it 30 minutes and hear it and be like, this is incredible.
Right. And how was he interviewing?
I love talking to him. He was really great. Yeah. Talked about his dog and how his dog is really present. And how that's something that he's working on.
Present, like in the moment?
Yeah. I don't know if the dog was also a present.
Okay. Kind of like a woke dog.
Yeah,
really.
Totally.
That's cool.
That's what he was saying, I think.
Nice.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, go ahead. I didn't
no, please.
I was just going to say, well, one of my favorite interviews, I've only interviewed him one time, but one of my favorite interviews I ever did was with Mike from Perfume Genius, because literally we talked about his funniest tweets.
He's so great on Twitter.
He's so funny. Yeah, so I just want to bring up a couple of them. Now they're a couple of years old. This is from April 2015. And it was literally just me like reading his tweets and him being like explaining what they were. One of my favorites is guy just slowed his car, comma, rolled down his window and asked me if I had any gray Poupon. another one is, one is just, at Costco thinking about pink. And he was like they were playing a pink song. I just was in Costco and I just started thinking about the artist Pink. So
that's
anyway,
awesome.
Follow him on Twitter.
Such a relatable moment.
So yeah, hilarious dude and really like brilliant songwriter.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. Well, all right, well let's listen to it. Perfume Genius, Wreath.
Beyond the frame, I see the sun go down. I see the sun come up.
All right, that was New Perfume Genius. Before we talk about another one, there was actually one thing I wanted to give a quick shout out to. Someone drew my attention to this on Twitter recently.
Oh,
so as you guys know, I'm a big Drag Race fan.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the key moments of season 9 of RuPaul's Drag Race happened in the, it's called Untucked. They air on YouTube after every episode. It's kind of like bonus content.
Cool.
Ooh.
And there was this great moment where one of the queens, Aja, a New York queen, calls out Valentina, who is another queen I love. Like she did an incredible Madonna look. You know the Madonna look where Madonna's naked doing the hitchhiking on the side of the highway?
Mm-hmm.
So she did that as a runway look, like with sensor bars, like over the appropriate parts. It was just like absolutely astounding. Anyways, so
the music tie-in here?
There is a music tie-in. Well, Madonna's music, obviously.
Okay.
But there's a great moment where they're asking Valentina what the judges said to her, and Aja cuts in and is just kind of like making fun of Valentina. She's like, the judges love you. Like, they're just always like, oh, you smiled. Oh, you look like Linda Evangelista. Like, very, like, taunting her. Uh-huh. And this has become, like, kind of like a Twitter, a very minor Twitter meme in a niche sense. But someone, Adam Joseph, took this and put it to music, this sound clip, and it's hysterical, and it is available on iTunes, and the money goes to LA, a youth center, a lesbian and gay youth center. So it's a cool thing. I love that someone did this. It's called Linda Evangelista. Named after That's the famous hilarious. Model.
Must hear music. I love it.
It is on YouTube. It is pretty awesome. So check that out. But let's talk about another one of your picks, Lindsay. Mac okay. DeMarco. The song is Dreams from Yesterday. What do you like about this?
Oh, I feel like you're about to go down some negative paths.
No, I am not. I would okay. never.
All right. I am really impressed with this album from him. I think it shows like the most growth in terms of his songwriting, and specifically this song. I just found it really interesting, and I also spoke with him, so I was asking him, like, it sounds like you have regrets, or you're sort of thinking about how you would have done things differently if you had the chance, and he was explaining, like, that's not it at all. It's sort of like a check-in point, almost, to just, like, take a moment and step back and, like, think about, like, the dreams that you did have yesterday and where you are now and if you're sort of aligning with what you want for yourself.
Mm-hmm. I would, well, one, are you just using this podcast as an opportunity to say who you spoke with?
Yes, this wow. is also known as the Lindsay Interviewed podcast.
Nice, perfect. yeah, I will say, and I don't mean this in any shady sense, but, like, I liked Mac DeMarco when he came out.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of, like, a lot of people in that vein, like, I was like, okay, I kind of get what's going on.
Right.
And after a while, I was like, I feel like I'm getting a lot of the same thing, and I became less interested. I really do like the song you singled out, though, Dreams from Yesterday. It has kind of an islandy calypso vibe, but in the sense of, like, back in the 1950s when people would kind of, like, I guess, appropriate basically the island sounds for, like, you know, like, basically, like, vocal pop singers who would normally kind of sing jazz or something mm-hmm. like that would do a one-off album of, like, calypso-flavored tunes. And this kind of reminds me of that, but in a good sense. We talked about this. There's kind of that, like, the percussion in the background is just this very, like, minimal, like, wood on wood kind of yeah. like hollow percussive sound. I think it's really cool, though. I really like this song and this sound, and he is a great songwriter and a great
yeah. And I totally get, like, that's the most common criticism he gets, that every song sounds the same, and I completely get that and kind of agree, but that's why I think, like, this album in particular, the songwriting is sort of what is moving him forward here.
Yeah. I thought it was good. What do you think, Jason?
Yeah, I as we were talking about yesterday, and I'm sorry, Lindsay. I'm going to totally hate fine. On another one. Not a huge Mac DeMarco guy. I thought the song was very, like, in his mode mm-hmm. of singer-songwriter, very kind of lurching and like pretty good live guy. Like, I've seen him live a couple times, yeah. But it's just not, I don't really connect with his songwriting, but, you know, I'm glad you guys enjoy. Sorry.
Well, thank you.
Sorry, guys.
All right. Well, let's listen to Mac DeMarco. So we have one thumbs up, one thumbs down, and
somewhere in the middle.
One right in
mine
the
is
middle.
Like close to totally up.
Oh, okay. Like a 1.75
it's at like
out
a,
of three.
Yeah. 45 degree angle.
Sure. That works. I'll take it.
All right. Well, let's listen to it. Mac DeMarco, Dreams from Yesterday.
And no amount of tears. Roll back all the years, bring back all your dreams from yesterday.
All right, that was new Mac DeMarco. Jason, you have a Grizzly Bear. You
yeah.
saw Three Rings. So this is the
Jeep
first
Bear.
We've heard from them in a while, right?
Since, I think, 2011 or 2012.
It's one been a minute.
Yeah. I think 2012.
Yeah. It's been almost 5 years since Shields, and I'm definitely a Grizzly Bear guy. Mm-hmm. What can I say? Are you a Grizzly? A
I love
Grizzly
Grizzly
gal?
Bear. I'm a Grizzly.
You're a Grizzly
gal.
Man. A Grizzly gal. Yeah. You're Cubs.
Didn't love their didn't
I also
didn't
love
their
the
their last album, but I really like what they're doing on Three Rings. Definitely sounds like they listen to a lot of Radiohead in the last 5 years
mm-hmm.
and are just kind of like in that mode of kind of sprawling, like thoughtful alternative rock. And I'm definitely here to hear more of it. Yeah, I don't really have much more to say. It's just a really solid Grizzly Bear song.
I was. What did you think about it, Lindsay? Are you a big fan of them?
Yeah, I am, and I really did like the song. And they had a super long Facebook post. I don't know if either of you saw it.
I did see this, yeah.
I wanted to point this out because a lot of people were like, oh, you're teasing us with like these short Instagram clips of this song. Just put it out. And they were explaining like it's so layered and there's so much to it that, I mean, who knows if this was like nothing but lies. But they're like, we're trying to help you guys appreciate the song by breaking it down a little bit more. Which, like, sure, that's interesting if it's true because there's a lot going on, which is why I'm such a fan.
Yeah, it's very intricate. There's definitely, I even wrote down my notes, a lot going on here.
A lot going on.
Like this is one of those things where you listen to it a few times and then you sort of get it. Like you don't maybe get it upon first listen. But like Grizzly Bear can totally get away with that. Like they've proven themselves to be kind of like, I mean, without like overstating it, like kind of geniuses in the like world of indie album making. And so yeah, they're like whatever they do, it's like, I will listen to it. I will give it several listens to kind of let it fully sink in. But I'm interested. I'm very interested in where this is going. So it's Three Rings, Grizzly Bear. And maybe it's just because Rings is in the title, but some of the like humming in the background, the like like very vocal, low, like reminds me of like Lord of the Rings. Like some of the music, like when like orcs are like doing some like works in the background, it's like or something like that.
Wow, pretty weird. When this song first came out, I thought it said Three Kings, and there's a Rick Ross, Jay-Z, Dr. Dre song called Three Kings. I was like, wow, I wonder if Grizzly Bear covered that song. They did not, and it's not called Three Kings, but I can always dream.
Yeah, what could have been?
Maybe one day.
Maybe one day.
All right, well, let's listen to Grizzly Bear's not Rick Ross cover, Three Rings. All right, that was New Grizzly Bear. And next and last, we're going to talk a little bit about Blondie. So Blondie released a new album, Pollinator, recently, which has collaborations with a bunch of like genre and generation-spanning people like Sia, Charlie XCX, Joan Jett, Laurie Anderson. The song I picked is called Long Time, and it is co-written with Dev Hynes, who is the main mastermind behind Blood Orange, which is the, you know, kind of like alt PBR&B project, critical darling. I absolutely love Blood Orange.
Me too. I didn't know that. It's a little fun fact.
Well, it's a very, very
that's
fun
what you're
fact
here for.
And that's what it is. So this song I picked, Long Time, has kind of a disco-y start. You know, Blondie, obviously one of their most famous song is Heart of Glass, which hit number one on the Billboard 100 and famously fused kind of punk and new wave and disco at a time when these were seen as like disparate sounds. It brought them all together. The drumming, the kind of four on the floor disco drumming, is kind of brought back on this song Long Time, but it's definitely more in the like new wave synth realm. I was lucky enough to get to interview Debbie Harry about their new album. She said that originally she and Dev Hynes wrote this song and she kind of thought it would be for Blood Orange. He didn't end up doing anything with the song, so when they were working on the new album, she reached out and was like, hey, can I have the song? And he was like, sure. So most of the album was written for this album. This is a song that kind of like snuck in as kind of just like an extra oddity. But I think it's really good. I mean, Blondie is like, of all those bands, you know, there are many bands, most bands really, who were classic at one point are like touring still.
Yeah.
And most of them aren't releasing great records. This is a really good album. It's like very solid and very fun. And I think Long Time is one of the highlights. But what did you think about it, Linz?
I would agree with that. I did really like this song. I want to go listen to it again, like picturing Dev Hynes singing it now, because that would be very different. But yeah, I mean, it's a perfect comeback song, like Long Time, haha.
Yeah.
It's been a while.
Ooh, yeah.
But yeah, it's... They've definitely had polished songs in the past, but like the influence of Sia and Charlie XCX is like very apparent to me just in terms of how polished, like pop driven the album is.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm such a huge fan of like the screamish parts of Blondie songs.
Yeah.
Like Hanging on the Telephone for some reason is my favorite Blondie song.
Yeah.
And like I just love,
good choice.
Like I love the almost like aggression in her voice on that.
Right.
And so I wanted a little bit of that here.
You wanted a little more like screaming.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like feisty.
A little more attitude, like right. Rip her to shreds.
Totally.
Yeah. No, I can see that.
Then
totally.
Again, she's what, like 71 now?
Right. Like you can't expect her to be screaming her head off at, you can't do that.
She's found her peace. She has nothing right. more to scream about.
Exactly. She probably meditates. I don't know.
Right.
Anyways, yeah, I love this one. I hear what you're saying, but yeah, let's listen to it. So, it is Blondie, Long Time from new album Pollinator. All right, that is all we have for this week. So if you have any recommendations, please tweet them at us. We will be back pretty soon with John Norris on the podcast. He Ooh. Did our Miley Cyrus cover story. She has a new song, Malibu, coming out, and we're going to be talking about his experience in her studio. He heard some of the new album, so we're going to be chatting about that and other
Harry
things
Styles.
Too. There'll be new Harry Styles. There's the full Power Bottom album is coming out, so there's a lot of good stuff. Paramore, a lot of great stuff. Thank you for listening, and we'll catch you next time.
See you soon.